Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. And it is a joy. It is a privilege. It is a pleasure to be back with you again on another Blog Talk Radio episode by way of Word Outreach International, the arm of evangelistic arm of History Court International. And I'm your host, Dr. J. O. Robinson. And I'm just so excited about what Jesus is doing in and through me for you now. Amen. All right, look, I am just doubly bubbling over here. I truly count this as a privilege to come to you in your homes, wherever you are listening to me, in your automobiles, or in the confines of wherever you are residing in terms of residence, and whether you are coming through mobile outreach and mobile phones, whatever the method is, your computer, we just praise God that you are listening to us today. You know, we've been doing a segment in the last podcast, and I shared with you, you guys that were listening to me in the archives, or those listening live, from a particular passage of scripture we talked about a little bit, didn't go into it in depth. It was out of the book of Hebrews. We've been talking on this passage a little bit, and then we talked about, from this topic, last week we talked about straight talk, and we're going to talk about this week a little bit of let's talk straight. And I did ask the question from this particular blog, and I said, are we as the church speaking with a forked tongue? I'm going to answer that question in a minute, kind of give you an idea of where that phrase came from. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and some of you are very familiar with this particular passage of scripture. Well, I've read it several times, and I want to read it again. Listen to what it says. It says, verse 12 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me tell you something. The word of God is quick and it is powerful. And I want to let you know today that it is this word that we're talking about today. We're going to shoot straight with you, straight, excuse me, from the word of God. And the verse 13 says, neither is there any that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked, and open unto the eye of him with whom we have to do. In other words, everything that you and I are dealing with in this life, there's nothing hidden from him. All things are open. There's nothing that is closed that he cannot see. We seemingly think that we're closed, but all things are very open unto him. He can even see through the area in which you think you have covered. There's nothing that's closed he cannot see. he can see through it. That's what this word is saying. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have another high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Now, I know that we need help in this day and time. Believe me, there was never ever a time that we needed help. We needed that. As all of the events that are taking place in our world today, we need help. We need grace to find help in our time of need. And I'm talking about us as believers, as the church of the living God. With that being said, the topic that we're going to talk about today is let's talk straight, or in other words, let us talk straight. Let us talk straight as who? Let us talk straight as the church relating to the world. And I asked a question a few minutes ago, speaking with a forked tongue. Now, before we get into that, before I give you the answer, let's kind of define a little bit what we're discussing today. And that what we're discussing today is this topic, let's talk straight. What does straight mean? Having the same direction all the way. In other words, we're going to stay on this. We're going to get, and it also means get straight to the point. It means to be honest and sincere, not curvy, not wavy, in the same direction. And so we're going to stay, by the grace of God, straight to the point. Here's the point. We want to talk straight. We want to make sure that we talk directly into your hearing today. The good news, the right news, the word of God, the truth, the infallible, uncompromised, inerrant word of God today. And we want to make sure that you hear from us what God is saying. Talk, what does that mean? That means, it simply means to say, put words, or to say words, and put, you know, put words into ideas. That means to speak. So what we're going to talk about today with you is, from this particular passage of Scripture, very familiar passage of Scripture, those of you who are Bible readers, and you are well-read, we're not catching you in the middle of a story here. We're going to talk from this passage of Scripture today in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 1. And it says this, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He said, ye hypocrite, where did Elijah prophesy of you, or it's Isaiah, excuse me, prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men. And so we're going to ask the question. Now we're going to talk to you about the question that I asked today, as Jesus is alluding to this particular passage, as he's confronted by the Pharisees. first, let's talk about a little bit why he's coming into this particular place. Because first, if you read chapter 14 of Matthew, you'll see in verse 22 that the Bible says that he told his disciples to go to the other side. We find him going on the boat, into the boat, onto the water. He's going into a place to pray. Then all of a sudden, there's a storm that comes up. As the disciples, the Bible says, the sea is tossed to and fro. And he's coming in the fourth watch of the night. And with that happening, the Bible says he walks on the water. The disciples see him. You know the story. Peter says to him, "Lord, if it be you," because the rest of them are afraid and bid me to come. Peter walks on the water with him. He comes. And the Bible says that Jesus saved him. And I don't have time to go into all that, but immediately the Bible says he picked him out of the water, out of the storm as he was sinking, because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And then he asked him, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you die?" And so when they're coming over into the area of the land of Gennesaret, and the Bible says, and the men of that knowledge of him, they sent out all of the country around about and brought sick unto him, and they pleaded with him to heal them. And the Bible says that even those who could just get into the place where he was to touch the hem of his garment, and many were touched and made perfectly whole. So everybody now, all there was with sickness and disease. So he's working the miracles here. While he's there, the Bible says, then came Jesus to Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. See, they are witnessing what's going on here. And they are upset at all of the wondrous work that he's doing. I'm trying to understand, why would they be upset? Why would they be even in the mindset of where they were confronting Jesus about working miracles and helping people out of their dilemmas, out of their distress, and out of the things that were hopeless seemingly to them, in places where they could not be healed and things that they could not be healed of through sickness and disease. And now he's healing them and bringing miracles and signs and wonders right there in the front of them. And then they have the audacity. They have the gumption, the mitigated gall to come to say to him something silly out of the blue by saying to Jesus, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?" As if the tradition of the elders is the main thing that needs to go on here. The tradition of the elders hadn't got the people healed. The tradition of the elders had not got the people delivered. The traditions of the elders had not got them to a better place. But yet they confront Jesus about the traditions of the elders. Can you believe that? Traditions of their forefathers. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute. What are the traditions? What are they confronting him about? First, he says, you have not heeded to the commandments of God. Jesus is talking to them. Or the order of the way that God desires things to be. And he says, you have forfeited the commandments of God for the tradition of the elders, or either the customs, or the ways, or the stories of your fathers or forefathers. You have made those greater than the commandments of God. And here is Jesus confronting them about this. And they come to him saying, "Well, why did your disciples they didn't wash their hands?" Well, what is washing your hands? What does that have to do with anything here concerning the healing of the sick, the casting out of devils, getting people delivered from sickness and disease? What does that have to do with anything? My God, listen to Jesus talking to these Pharisees now. He's saying, and these Pharisees and scribes were the religionists of that day. They, I'm pretty sure, are jealous, or as we say in our common street vernacular, hating, because they have not been able to this place through the traditions of their forefathers work these signs and wonders, but yet they bring to Jesus their tradition and overrule by the commandments of God their tradition. They take their tradition over the commandments of God. So Jesus confronted them and said, well, why are you bringing your transgressing the commandments of God by your traditions or by the things that you've done in the past, by the things of your forefathers, the customs and the systems and the way of doing things that your forefathers are doing? Why do you bring that over the commandments of God or the order of God? And did you not know that this is what is happening in the church world today? We're more concerned about customs. We're more concerned about rituals and ceremonies. We're more concerned about things that we do as opposed to the actual commandments and the will of God. We would rather see a bake sale or a cake sale over trusting God for, I'm getting ready to say something now, over the thing. God told us to trust him for everything, just like the children of Israel. He told us to believe him for manna from heaven. When he believed in giving water out of a rock, when they had to believe him for preparing a table in the wilderness, giving them essential heating by night in a cloud of air conditioning by day. Really? And here we are. They are now bringing traditions over his commandments because of what their custom and their way of ceremonies of doing things has overruled his commandments. Isn't that in the church today? Wow, how many times have we made our tradition greater than his commandment? And so he says, he deals with them about honoring their mother and their father. And he says, but you say that that's not necessary, that after we've done all we can do for them, then we don't owe them anything. And Jesus says, but yes, you do, because Jesus said, honor thy father and thy mother. He didn't give a time then. That means every day, all the days of their lives. He said, and Ephesians gives us a very good vivid picture of that. In Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, you know the story about that, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Jesus said, you're saying that if you don't do that, then you're okay. Then he says that, but if you don't honor your father and mother, Jesus said, then let that person die to death. Listen, he said, this. He said, you are a hypocrite. Well, did Isaiah speak well, prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrine, the commandment of me, of men. Listen to what he's saying. He said, you are talking to me out of a forked tongue. You say one thing, but you really mean something else. Now that word, that cliche came from our Native Americans when they were dealing with us as the United States of America. And they would say that Europeans or whoever they were speaking with spoke with a forked tongue. A forked tongue is a tongue that split. And most of the time, when we see a forked tongue, it comes out of the mouth of a serpent. And a serpent, because it has two sides to it, its tongue, is split. So the Native Americans said that if your tongue was split, it was forked. In other words, it can be poison. You can say one thing and you can mean another. In other words, you're not talking straight. And so Jesus confronted the Pharisees by telling them, say, you honor me with your lips. You talk to me out of your mouth with your lips. He said, but inside of you, your heart is far from me. You're not speaking actually what's in your heart. You're not talking to me according to how your heart is speaking. In other words, you're speaking to me out of your mind, but your heart is not delivering the right thing. So he goes on to talk to them, and he shares with the Pharisees. He says, and the Bible says in verse 10, he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth out of the mouth, goeth into the mouth, defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this say? And Jesus is just saying, like, well, so what? And, you know, really? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath, he said, every plant that my heavenly Father has planted shall be rooted up. Has not planted, shall be rooted up. Let them alone, he said. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know, the disciples are puzzled right here because they're trying to figure out, well, what's going on? You mean to tell me that the Pharisees, the potentates, the doctors, the highly revered, respected religionists of the Sanhedrin, the ones who rule and run the church as we know it? He said, you mean to tell me that they haven't been planted by you? They were kind of puzzled because they revered these guys. They respected them. And yet they were Jesus' disciples. And so Peter said, did you know that they were offended? And Jesus was like, well, you know, everything that's not planted here of my Father, it's not going to stay long. It's going to be rooted up. And he said, let them alone. What? Let them alone. He said, for they be blind leaders of the blind. He said, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And they said, wait a minute, help us with this, because we are puzzled now. And so in verse 15 says, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable, because it was not of understanding to them at that particular point, because they couldn't understand why Jesus would rebuke the Pharisees or either the scribes. And Jesus said this. He said, are ye also yet without understanding? You know, some of us have been in Christendom for a long time, and we still don't understand certain things about this thing we call church, or this thing we call the body of Christ, or this vehicle we call the body of Christ, or the church. This is what he says to them. Are you without understanding? That means, are you void of really knowing what's going on here? He goes on to say in verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? In other words, what you eat is going to come out. He says, that's not what messing you up here. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart, this is what he says. See, what comes out of your heart comes through your lips. And this is what defiles the person. This is what keeps the person from really talking straight, because their heart is not right. Or their heart is incorrect. Or their heart is not in a place of sincerity, of honesty. So they can't talk straight. Listen to what he says. He says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. He said, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And Jesus was saying, look, you're putting all of your attention on something that's minor and missing the major. As we use the cliche, you're majoring in the minors and minoring in the major. You're missing the whole picture here. You're concerned about your traditions, washing of hands from things that appear from the outward
way of men. But you're missing the innermost part of what's very important to God, and that is, it's not what the appearance of things looks like from the outside, but it's the appearance of things that come from the inside that move to the outside that God is concerned about. And so he says, you talk to me out of your mouth, with your lips you come and talk about you worship me every day, every Sunday, whatever the days you worship, worship. And he said, listen, he said, you worship me. In other words, your lifestyle is saying that of worship. He said, you come to me with your lips and your talk, and you talk a good game. You got it going on. You look very well. You look religious. You look like everything is fine. And in one passage, he said you are like whitewashed sepulchers. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're like dead men's bones. And what he's saying to these guys is, to his disciples, and to the Pharisees, and to the scribes, you talk a good game. You look good on the outside. You're talking a good game. You sound good from the outside. And you're making everybody feel like you got it going on. You've got this religious thing down. You've got this church thing down. You can talk a good talk. He said, but on the inside, the talk doesn't match the walk. In other words, you come to me with your lips in one side, with one side, and you, when it comes to your worship for me, you don't meet the qualification. In other words, your worship is void. It's null and void because your heart is far from me. Can I tell you today, friend, your talk has a lot to do with what comes out of your heart. Your talk and my talk has a lot to do with what comes out of our heart. And what comes out of our heart determines whether or not our talk is straight. And so let's talk straight today. Let us talk straight with one another. Let's be honest with one another. Let's be sincere with one another. Church, let's be sincere with the world. Let's not talk one thing and do another. In other words, the world is looking at us as the church. Somebody said, well, you know, the church, the real church of God is straight. Well, I do agree with that. But there are all of us, some of us who are in the real church of God. Come on, let's face it. We haven't all come to meet the, we haven't all met the quality that God has commanded us to meet. Come on, now let's be straight about that. Let's talk straight now. Let us talk straight. You know, let's be real with this. God has called us, you and me, to talk straight to the world. World, I want to tell you today, and even believers, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us, as we get ready to come to a close today, that, you know, everybody's talking about judgment, and everybody's talking about what's getting ready to take place in this seventh year. And as I close with these last 90 seconds, I want to let you know today that there was a word that came in the days of Peter when he said that judgment in 1 Peter 4:17 must begin first at the house of God. And then he says, if it begins at us, what shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel? He said, is the righteous scarcely be saved? What shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel? As I go today, I just want to tell you that you need to come on into this house as I played for you last week. It's getting ready to rain. It's getting ready to rain down fire. It's getting ready to rain. It's not going to be like rain it was the last time. It's going to be the rain of fire. Come on into this house. Let God save you. Let God deliver you. Let God make you whole. Let him make you free. The clouds are gathering. The storm is coming. And it's time for you to come on into this house. Don't just worship him with your lips, but let it be with your heart today. Get it right with God. It's time to come on to the house of the Lord, the ark of safety. Thank you.